Cozying up to the Russian bear, that much-heralded visit by North Korean leader Kim Jong-un to meet Vladimir Putin in eastern Russia is underway. Kim and Putin have met this morning at Vostochny Kosmodromia. That's a spaceport. The meeting has just ended. Now, Shashank Joshi is defence editor at The Economist and he's on the line. Good morning.
Good morning.
Everyone wondering, I suppose, about the real purpose of this visit. Now we've seen this meeting at a spaceport, presumably showing off the best of Russian technology. Are we any clearer as to the as to why Kim has, I suppose, come out of his normal reclusion to engage with Putin in this way?
Well, I suppose we have a clearer sense of the quid pro quo. We understand what Russia's offering North Korea. We saw Vladimir Putin say quite explicitly that he hosted Kim at this site because he wants to help North Korea build satellites. And that's really quite noteworthy because, of course, Russia is a permanent member of the UN Security Council. It has signed up to sanctions on North Korea's nuclear-capable systems, including long-range missile launches, which are functionally the same technology as those necessary to get satellites into space. And last month, North Korea failed on its second try at getting a military reconnaissance satellite into space, and it said it would try again next month. So if Russia were to help North Korea on this, it would not only be a very important violation, potential violation of international sanctions that Russia has agreed to, it would also be a huge leap up for the Kim regime. But, of course, the question you were asking, I was really getting at, was what does Russia get? And the answer, although we haven't got a clear evidence of that yet, is surely ammunition.
Now, a lot of talk, of course, about the West as well. Russia is now confronting, says Kim, such hegemonist forces to protect its security interests. How should the United States and Western governments supporting Ukraine be processing what's happening over there today?
Well, first of all, analytically, they should understand that if North Korea were to give Russia large amounts of ammunition, particularly artillery ammunition, it would really add to Ukraine's challenge. It would allow Russia to defend against Ukraine's current attacks more effectively because the balance of firepower is in a very important factor on this battlefield. In other words, who's firing more shells? That's a really, really significant factor here. It would allow Russia to go back on the offensive later next year more easily. It would have a more ammunition to do so. That's, again, been a really big constraint on Russia's ability to advance, to press ahead. And thirdly, in terms of their response, I think there's very little they can actually do to stop a deal like this. You know, these are two sanctioned regimes. They have got very little to lose. This is an important subject for Russia. And of course, there's a land border between the two countries. They can ship weapons to each other without any real interdiction or maritime disruption. I think the most effective thing is publicity and exposure, because the Kim regime, until now, until really this week, has been fairly cautious in its dealings with Russia on the war itself, on supplying the war. And so the more I think the West publicizes these interactions, exposes any shipments of weapons and exposes these things, the more it may embarrass Pyongyang into thinking a little bit more carefully. But ultimately, I suspect the only real response is giving Ukraine as much ammunition as we possibly can.
Okay, Shashank Joshi, defence editor at The Economist. Thank you very much for bringing us up to date with that this morning. It is now 7 minutes to nine.